You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome once again to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts that all provide real value and insights on business and life. In our book, they are definitely real hits. Full episodes in their entirety. This way you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. This episode is from the Limitless Leadership Lounge with John Gehring, Renuma Kareem, and Coach Jim Johnson. In this episode, the panel talks about inclusion leads to success. Episode is titled Inclusion Leads to Success, and a great panel discussion here. You're going to love it. I encourage you guys all to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and be sure that you subscribe to the Limitless Leadership Lounge. As always, one last thing, if you would like to submit your podcast to be featured on Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn or email me, ben@bellbirdmarketing.com. Without further ado, enjoy the show.
Do you want to be a leader? In a constantly changing world, our emerging leaders look different, come from various backgrounds, and from all different age groups. Leadership is changing, and it's hard to keep up. But the good news? You can be a leader too. You can be an emerging leader. Welcome to the Limitless Leadership Lounge, a tri-generational conversation for emerging leaders. Come spend some time with us to discuss leadership from three angles. The coach, Jim Johnson. The professor, Dr. Renuma Kareem. The host, John Gehring. A monthly guest. And you.
Get in on the conversation on Facebook and Instagram.
And be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. So, come on in and make yourself comfortable.
Let's dive right into our episode this week. Welcome on into the Limitless Leadership Lounge. I'm John Gehring, of course, joined by Coach Jim Johnson and Dr. Renuma Kareem, who's the CEO, founder of Heroes for All. And this week, I think it's important to take a step back of some of the topics that we've been discussing the last few weeks and just talk amongst the three of us about a very important topic. And this is something that we've gone over at Syracuse University, where I'm studying in a master's program there, and the importance in leadership of inclusion and how organizations can benefit from having a very inclusive environment and the dangers of not having an inclusive environment. And let's start with Dr. Kareem, because Renuma, you're from Bangladesh, and so you've experienced very closely two different cultures here, one over there and one here in the United States where you are right now. How do they compare? And as far as the inclusion goes, how was it when you came to the United States? Was it a culture shock? Are we very inclusive here, or do we still struggle in those areas as compared to Bangladesh?
That's a great question, John. Thank you. I think I was fortunate and blessed to have like early exposure to diversity and inclusive culture back home. Although Bangladesh is a homogeneous culture, but because we were an Americanized university and we had a lot of foreign students coming in, foreign faculty. So I was able to adjust to all those different flavors of individuals and culture. But one thing a little bit shocking was when I came to USA, I thought watching Hollywood and all those things, that it is like all fun and like everybody's welcoming and all those kind of thing. And because first I landed in New York City, and it is a totally different environment in New York City. You have so many individuals from so many countries there. But when I came to more towards here, upstate New York, I saw that it is a little bit different. Although we were hired as under the diversity quota, and I have to mention that there is a difference between diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely.
So when we are talking about diversity, it is you being invited to a party, but inclusion is you are being asked to dance. So there is these two things. So when we are hired, they said like, oh, for the diversity quota, we should have all these people in our campus. But we are there, but sometime the voice might not be heard. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, that is not an inclusive culture. And it was in Harvard Review. I was amazed to see that only 5% of the global leaders are really practicing inclusion in any culture, only 5%. So everybody's talking about it, but we are not actually consciously practicing it. So I think those are the things that we need to focus on. And I have also seen that once we are aware that how we need to react, how we need to make people feel belong, that is when first step towards inclusion works. So definitely there are a lot of work to be done, but slowly this is becoming, everybody's paying attention to it. So
yeah, I just want to point out the great point that you make and emphasize the difference between diversity and inclusion. I think that's one of the most important points we can make today. We all talk about being accepting, you know, we're inviting you into our community, but are we including you or are we just inviting you? Now, Coach, this is a topic that I'm sure is very close to your heart because of the whole JMAC story. I mean, you did not only invite him to be part of your team in the team manager's role, but then you included him on your senior night. And we all know what happened there. If not, check out coachjimjohnson.com and watch the video because it's the most powerful thing you're going to see today. So Coach, as far as that experience certainly was one, but then throughout the rest of your coaching career, what other experiences related to inclusion did you have and what did you learn from them?
It's a very powerful thing because inclusion, you know, I'm going to start by one point is that sports is a great vehicle because if you can get a team working towards a common goal, it doesn't matter what type of person, as far as, you know, whether it's skin color or, you know, different beliefs religiously or whatever. So that is the neat thing that you can do from sports that we can learn from to go over into other areas like the business world or just, you know, setting up organizations to be successful. The second thing is including, sometimes I think we forget though that we want people on our team that are going to help contribute. So we don't want to just bring someone in because they happen to be a different color of skin or, whatever. Just to say, hey, we made our quota. I don't like that at all. I do believe to have a successful team, you do need to include everybody and find the right people, as Jim Collins always used to say, have the right people on the bus and have them in the right seats. So I think that's really important as you develop a team. I'll give you a couple examples. One is, you know, when I started coaching, I grew up in Greece, so if you're local or in Rochester, it's the biggest suburb. And when I grew up, it was pretty much all Caucasian. Now Greece is very diverse. You know, we have a lot of different cultures and racial different groups. And so as I coached, you know, early on in my career, I was pretty much only coaching Caucasian young men. Well, now that changed drastically. And as a leader, it's really important that you get to know your people and get to know a little bit about their backgrounds. Because early on in my career, as I said, I grew up pretty much in a Caucasian world. And now all of a sudden we have all different types of, you know, races on our team. And so, you know, they're all people, but they do have differences in the fact of how they grew up, you know, what their background is. Their culture. And those are things that are going to be really important in leadership. If you're going to really develop that culture of your team and unite them, you got to get to know and you got to find ways as a leader to unite your team by getting to know each other. That's really important. And then you build towards a common goal. The last thing I'll say right now is going back to the JMAC is that I think it's really important when you're building a team that you're clear about your values. And one of our most important values, it was we were going to respect every person. You know, we're going to respect everyone on the team. We respect the coaching staff. We're going to respect all our opponents, the officials. It goes on and on. And so I think it's really important that you have clarity of what your most important values, what you're going to instill as a leader, and that you're consistent with them. You know, J-Mac had his challenges, you know, being on the autism spectrum, I didn't know. But the one thing I did know, and I taught my players, and we worked very hard on it, is that we're going to respect everybody, and we're going to give everybody a chance. And that was the neat thing. In fact, you know, the warmest part of that whole game was, I mean, it was great to see him score all the baskets, but the thing that warmed my heart the best was how our students reacted and how our players, every time Jason would score, they were hugging each other. And, you know, we had different cultures on it. You know, we had some Black kids, we had some white kids, you know, we had a Hispanic kid, and yet they're hugging and they're loving each other. And to me, that's what the essence of a team was. And you know, that part of that manifestation was just so powerful and something I think as leaders we really need to strive for as we're including everyone on our team.
Very true. And Coach, I feel that because you being in the top leadership, the data also shows that when the top 70 top leaders are showing that they are not biased and they're open to inclusion, that's when the others also follow. And I think, don't you think that because you provided that space for J-Mac to come and play and even and participate, and even there is a competitive advantage of being inclusive, because if J-Mac was not in that game, you might not have scored those scores. So it is a competitive advantage. Don't you think that sometimes when you bring that different ideas, different people on board, there is a chance for higher level of growth and more innovation and creativity and unity in the team?
I think you hit it right perfectly in the fact that, you know, because the one thing that, you know, in my study of leadership is you'll see this little statement called rallying around a cause. Mm-hmm. And that was so special that was, you know, manifested certainly during the J-Mac game. But, you know, the really neat thing after that is, you know, J-Mac's dream, you know, yes, he wanted to play in a game, but his biggest dream, his senior, is he wanted the team to win the Section 5 championship. And to see how his moment and how the kids helped him shine, that really came back. Because you know what happened after that game? Jason had to go back as a team manager. And now he's like this worldwide celebrity, yet all the games, he was still so into the team. In fact, I always tell this story that, you know, people would often ask him after his senior season, Jason, what was the best thing about your senior season? And he always would say, winning the Section 5 championship, not his game. Where this coach here, me, every time somebody asked me, I'd say the best experience I ever had in my coaching career was the J-Mac game, bar none. And, you know, and I was fortunate. I was part of a number of championships, and we had a lot of great teams and great players. But that night, you know, touched my heart forever.
True.
That's a powerful story, Coach, of course, and really a model of inclusion. I think it also goes to show that whenever we originally think of inclusion, we think racially. We think, well, we need to get our numbers to be even, but maybe we're focusing on the wrong thing. Obviously, racial inclusion is absolutely pivotal and still lacking in many, many areas. But what about inclusion of differing abilities, as is the case in J-Mac's case? I mean, what about the inclusion of different, even just thoughts, different perspectives, whether, you know, we're both white, but we have a different perspective. I mean, that's an inclusiveness too. And Dr. Kareem, I'm sure you've run into this, the difference of different cultures too, because you being from Bangladesh, I mean, you have your traditions there. We were talking about weddings, a whole lot different out there. I like yours better because I think the parents pay, right? Isn't that a thing? Now, what are some of the challenges that you've faced now coming to a different culture and Well, really trying to still live your own culture, because that's your own culture. But have there been obstacles to inclusion from other people of the Bangladesh culture that you bring, or have you just noticed a very welcoming environment here?
Definitely. I'm lucky to have a very welcoming environment where everybody's learning from each other. So one of the things I think as a leader we should do is, even if we have biases, because I come from a different culture and I might not know the American culture of communicating with the American students. So at the very beginning, if I accept my not knowing, show humility, that can also open up the floor for conversation. People can exchange ideas, and then the inclusiveness can emerge. Another interesting thing, it's not only about culture, but also our food habit. There are some people who are vegan. There are some people, as a Muslim, I don't eat pork. So when in the first meeting in our department, they have ordered a pepperoni pizza only.
Mm, yeah.
So automatically, they did not want it to exclude me, but they did not put that extra effort to know like what people like, and that also show whether your department or your organization is inclusive or not. So if they only had a cheese pizza, that's perfect, with no pepperoni. Then it can include everybody. So sometimes we need to pay attention to that. When I invite my Hindu friends or colleagues, I do not cook beef because beef is not in their culture. Then it's more vegan and all those things. So you have to be accommodating in all those small areas. Gender is also another big thing. I think it's one of the Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg. She mentioned that she went to a big meeting in a big company, and they did not have a female restroom. So she was trying to find, like, this is a big corporate place, but because all the time in the table, it was the white male people in the finance sectors who were talking, and they never even considered to have a female restroom to accommodate women workers, because they did not have female workers there. So, but these are the things that you need to pay attention as we are moving forward. So gender, ability, all these things matter. And I would like to share one interesting story. This is, and you can also watch that movie, a biopic of an Indian Air Force pilot, a female pilot, Gunjan Saxena. So there is a movie in Netflix, and I watched it a few days ago, and it shows how we are blind to that inclusion. So in India, because it was Air Force is all male culture. And when she came in, she was the first female pilot, and there wasn't even a changing room for her. So she has to run to her dorm quarters. And when she came back, she already lost the flying time. And the instructors, and nobody would accommodate her. So she has to manage. She has to fight for all those rights just because they did not create that inclusive space. So there are so many small things that matter to make an individual feel that they belong to that environment.
And if you're thinking, you know, that, oh, it's not a big deal, that, you know, they fight for their rights and they get them because, you know, our world is progressing and it's getting better. Well, I feel like it's important to note that while people who are excluded are fighting for their rights just to be included, to have a seat, while that's all going on, other people are spending their time getting way ahead. So there is,
and even small things, and Harvard Research Review also find MIT, they did a research and they found out that these are microaggression those micro assessments that can create so many problems. So a small paper cut may not have a big effect, but continuously, if you're getting the paper cut, then you have to go to the doctor. So I think this is so important that although we might say like, oh, this is not a big deal, this is slowly things will change, but we have to make that effort.
Yeah, We do.
You know, I like to really say one thing, because Renoma and John, you brought up, is so powerful. The fact that the old adage, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. And what Renuma brought up, and the fact that, you know, just a little thing, it sounds like a little thing, but it was a big thing to you, and I'm very much understanding, is the pepperoni pizza. And just getting clarity as a leader to start to really do some research and find out about each person, their culture, their background, and all that is so powerful, because the more that you can build relationships and understand your people, the more successful your team is going to be.
Yeah, and I was so happy when a few of my colleagues, they're from different religion, and during my month of Ramadan, they did not have their dinner. They all waited till my time of breaking my fast comes. Wow. So although they could have their dinner 1 hour early, they say that, no, we are going to wait with you, and we are so excited to break the fast with you. And automatically you feel respected and you respect them. Mm-hmm. And there is this camaraderie that you can build, which, like, the small gestures matters a lot.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, that's powerful too, because they don't have to do that. And people want to eat. I mean, that's
right.
You know, usually people don't like to mess up their eating schedule, but that's really powerful that they did that. Let's take a quick break and come back and think about this thought as we come back here. How, as a leader in an organization or a leader in any sense, do you facilitate inclusion? I mean, what are actual actionable steps we can all take to make that more of a priority in our organizations? We're going to take a quick break, but stick with us, because we'll be right back to wrap up our conversation about inclusion on the Limitless Leadership Lounge.
Back to our tri-generational conversation for emerging leaders. Come on, let's head into the Limitless Leadership Lounge.
It's a tri-generational conversation for emerging leaders. Welcome back into the lounge. I'm John Garing, joined by Dr. Renuma Kareem and Coach Jim Johnson. As always, just the three of us this week, as we're talking about inclusion and the importance of it. And we've already gone over some really powerful points. Now, I think it's interesting to note, because in sports, Coach, I know inclusion is an interesting topic, because it's not always even. I mean, we have our different sports that, you know, are basically tied to different cultures, I guess you would say. And that makes inclusion a challenge. But as a coach, what did you do, and maybe something that you did that can also be applicable to the business world, some actionable steps that you took to really make sure inclusion was a priority on your team?
Well, one thing I took a lot of pride in was organizing and planning practice. And just like you would do for planning a meeting or, you know, any type of situation, whether it's business, as a teacher, a coach, whatever it happens to be, is you got to be intentional. Like I would, example, when we did partner things, I was cognizant of putting people with different partners so they would get to know each other. I was cognizant when we did some breakdowns like 3-on-3, where I would mix up and put different guys against different guys. Those are ways that you can build, you know, the same thing when you have like a team meeting, you know, that you actually go out of your way. And because sometimes, especially, you know, a little bit different is like the person that's more introverted. They may have a great idea, but they just don't want to share it. And as a leader, you got to be aware of that, you know, and try to bring that out. You know, for example, if Renuma was pretty introverted, you know, I could, you know, if I can share with her, hey, Renuma, what's your thought on this? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she's going to feel good about, you know, that, you know, that leader recognizes me and wants me to share some information. So I think it's really important as you plan things for your team or organization that you get to know each other and get the people on your team to know each other. I think that's just a really powerful concept that, you know, if you do, you know, you have to match up the same people every day, then you really don't think about, you know, how can I really build that team chemistry to be most effective?
Yeah, some people need that little nudge. You can't expect that everybody on your team is just going to be that person who's going to speak out whenever they have a thought, you know, and that would be kind of chaotic if everybody did. So thank goodness for that. Now, the same question to you, Dr. Cream, but what are some of the things that you've done in Heroes for All and in your classrooms, because you teach at SUNY Brockport, that really prioritize inclusion?
One of the things that I'm consciously doing is during the meeting, everybody have like the equal time to speak out. I'm not shutting down somebody like, okay, and moving to somebody whom I like, oh, this person is more intelligent or smart, so I'm going to give him or her more time. So in a meeting as a leader, you cannot do that. You cannot show even favoritism to some people, and not only meeting, in every scenario when you're running an organization. And even when you're a teacher, you should not show favoritism towards certain students. And that is also, then I am really not practicing inclusiveness. So and often these things happen, like even unconsciously, I'm like asking just question to the one student who I feel that knows all the answers. And that is not inclusion. So when when we are aware of our biases, like, oh, and then we have to check ourselves, like, am I doing that? And take effort to stop that. Another thing I have, I also practice is empathy. So empathy is, you have to be empathetic towards all your, to everybody you're working with. So once you show that empathy, so emotional intelligence and cultural intelligence, you have to use those two when you're a leader to create that inclusive culture. And another important thing is humility. So if I'm doing something wrong, or I have to be humble and accept, like, okay, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand your viewpoint. Let's talk about it. When you open up, often things are much more easier to manage. So humility, emotional and cultural intelligence, then creating that scope for effective collaboration. And IKEA has done that. When they are going to those different countries, they're actually involving the grassroots people in the decision-making, even what are the things that you think that we should sell. They are creating that environment. So they're focusing on those three things for inclusion: people-centered, society-driven, and also environmental friendly. So when you are focusing on those areas, you are going to see that you are automatically not creating that inclusion only within your organization, but outside your organization as well. And Coach, I was wondering, are you familiar with the Rooney rule in NFL?
So I am. And you know, that's an interesting one. The Rooney rule, for listeners that don't know, is what they're trying to do is include more inclusion, diversity, in the sense that they want to hire, in most cases, minority coaches and general managers. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the people that are actually running the football teams, and they've had some success, but it's still got a long ways to go. So I think it's an interesting thing. I want to just switch one little thing. I just finished a book that we talked briefly about before we came on, and it's called It's Not About the Coffee by Howard Behar. And he was kind of the right-hand man of Howard Schultz in the Starbucks growth. And the thing that was really intriguing was when they worked together is how they called their employees partners. And something that was really powerful is, for one, Howard Schultz wanted to make sure that everyone that at least worked at least 20 hours every week would receive at least some health insurance. Pretty powerful. Yeah. Another thing is, when they went public, that he allowed every employee the opportunity to get stock options. So in fact, you want to get buy-in from your people, include them, and give them opportunities And he just did, they did some things from a leadership team where they really showed they cared about their people and they wanted to include, you know, from the, like, just a little simple example. I'll end with this is one of the chapters is let the person that sweeps the floor choose the broom. And I thought, wow,
yeah.
You know, as simple as that is, but often, you know, the top management buys, you know, whatever product and the product is actually very good. And it doesn't, you know, ask the people that are doing the job, you know, well, how can we best help you? And as simple as maybe get a better broom.
And interestingly, another interesting thing that these organizations are also now practicing speaking out. So earlier, those organizations, we are only about business, but now they're speaking out and making that inclusive culture known to the world. And one example would be when President Trump announced a travel ban on Muslims. Suddenly, just as soon as he came to the power, there were like thousands of people who's in LinkedIn and Google, they were all stuck at their home country, not being able to come. And LinkedIn, Google, all these top organizations, they spoke out against the travel ban. They just did not keep quiet. So sometimes inclusion means you need to speak out also to bring those changes. And Black Lives Matter, that was also another example of how we can create an inclusive society. So these are the things that are happening now. And I think that's a great sign that we are learning more about it and we need to know more about it. We have to study this phenomenon also so that we can practice it perfectly.
Yeah.
I just want to add one thing, because you're so right, Renuma, is that the fact as the leader, and the one thing I took a lot of pride, because it was one of our most important values, is I wanted to treat everybody with respect. And as a leader, when you do that, that really makes people feel like they're part of what you're trying to do. And that's something to always remember.
And I remember that being a graduate from Greece Athena, coach, where you coached. I still remember that big word up on the locker room wall is respect. And that's all it is. And that was one of our main mottos. And that has continued on even past when you retired from teaching and coaching. I think this has been a really powerful discussion. I think it is important, though, as we wrap up here in these next few minutes, to remember the reason for inclusion and ultimately, that's not to meet that quota. It's not because, oh, well, we need to be inclusive so that we look like a good organization. But ultimately, inclusiveness is beneficial to all of us. And not just because we want to be good people, but because the more ideas we have at the table, the more diverse of a organization we are. And no matter what kind of organization you are, maybe you're a small business with 10 employees. If you have 10 different perspectives, from 10 different backgrounds. I mean, imagine it's almost as if you're 10 times as powerful as if you have 10 basically clones of the same type of person. I mean, we're all different, but still emphasizing that diversity is important. And I think we think about it too much for the wrong reasons. I think college admissions thinks about it sometimes for just the wrong reasons of, well, we should let them in because they're, you know, this color, this gender, whatever. But no, it's actually a beneficial thing. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I think I'm going down the right path here. What do you both think?
And I think America became such an amazing country in the world, a leading nation in the world, because of that inclusion and the diversity they have. And now America is learning about more about inclusion and being inclusive. But that is why America is great, because there are so many minds from so many countries bringing diverse ideas into this part of the world. And now Canada also following this model. Now they're doing better than USA.
Yeah.
But again, more people, more ideas, and you are going to have that creative burst wherever you go. So I think as a leader, we all should recognize that it's not about only ethnicity, it's everything, all spectrum, even you, me, a coach, even if we live in upstate New York, our experiences are also making us different. We can bring diversity in our conversation because of our different ideas, different viewpoints, gender, and definitely ethnicity. So all those things play a huge role.
Yeah, and you know what's great about our podcast here is that we bring that inclusion. And that's even something that we didn't even touch on in today's episode that's also powerful, but the same concepts apply. His age is so important when it comes to inclusiveness, because so many people just like to hang out with, you know, their college buddies who they went to school with, or hang out with, I don't know, the people at the retirement home. But how important is it to go across generations like we do here with our tri-generational conversation? I think you can gain a lot of wisdom from both of those older you and those younger than you too. And I think that's critical.
Exactly.
Coach, do you have anything else?
It's so beneficial to have, you know, different perspectives, you know, whether it's you just took perspective, or, you know, because, you know, John's quite a bit younger than me and Renuma's in between us. But just having, because you know what, if you, it's something I really became cognizant of, you know, finding the strengths of your people and augmenting each other. Okay, like if I hired all my staff and we had exactly the same strengths, we're going to have some major weaknesses. Where if I hired some people, for example, you know, I've gotten kidded over the years that technology and me are not best of friends. And so, but my JV coach was great with technology. So he did a lot of the film breakdown and those types of things. So, you know, by bringing in people with various strengths and ideas is so powerful in building that outstanding team.
Yeah. Very, very good point, Coach. I think that's the essence of a team, where if I'm, I don't know, the mouth, I can taste food, but if you're the hand, you can't, but you can pick things up, right? Stupid example, but it's true. We all serve that different purpose, and diversifying our strengths on a team is so important to ultimately getting further as a team, or else you're going to be, you know, running on that hamster wheel and just going in circles. A really powerful discussion with all of us today. Really appreciate it. See, we don't need a guest to have amazing discussions, but of course we do love when we have guests on as well. And that's going to wrap it up for our conversation today. How do you best promote inclusion in your organization? We'd love to hear about it on Facebook, Limitless Leadership Lounge, or Dr. Cream, Coach Jim Johnson, or myself, John Guerin. You can reach out to us individually, and we'd love to hear from you. And we'd also love it if you'd stick around and tune in next week to our next Limitless Leadership Lounge. We'll catch you then.
Thank you for joining us this week at the Limitless Leadership Lounge. To listen to this episode again and to find previous episodes, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. You can also get in on the conversation. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Then tell three of your friends to join in as well. Coach, Renuma, and John will be back again next week for another Tri-Generational Leadership Discussion. We'll talk to you then on the Limitless Leadership Lounge.